welcome to Holden Village. In the Creekside room, today's speaker is Kathy Sorrells, and she's doing a series on creativity and spirituality, and this part of the series is titled Inspiration. So let's listen in on Kathy.
I'm Kathy Sorrells, and I have been at Holden for almost 2 months now. Prior to being on the teaching staff, I was working as a carpenter in the carpentry shop. And prior to doing that, I have been living in Seattle and working, and I do work in multicultural education and diversity. And I try to bring in a very creative focus to that. So when we're working with cultures and people from different cultures, how can we use creativity to bridge those differences? And out of that has come... My goodness. Hello. I rang the bell at 10:25 or something.
I think I woke up. I was waking up about that.
Where are you? Good morning. Well, I'll start over because we had just started anyway. I'm Kathy Sorrells, and I've been here for about 2 months. And prior to being on the teaching staff, I was working in the carpentry shop doing woodworking, and that was actually a past life of mine. I used to do carpentry and remodeling and furniture building. But more currently and in the last years, I have been doing diversity and multicultural education work. So I work with people from different cultures, helping them understand the ways that they're different, helping to facilitate conflicts between people who are different, and I try to bring a creative focus to that and using creativity to bridge the differences. Out of that work has come work and focus on creativity and spirituality, which I have been doing. I did 2 weeks ago here for the Elder Hostel group that was here, and I'm doing this week. And the way that I have set it up for this week has been that we have looked at the creative process, and I've identified 5 steps in the creative process. The first step being about preparation. How do we prepare ourselves to be creative? The second step is focused on mystery. How do we walk into the unknown? How do we let go of our preconceived notions of what something ought to be? And how do we stop judging ourselves to let ourselves become creative? And the third day, which is today, is on inspiration. So you have a period of preparation, and then you have a period of mystery, which is the unknown. And often people call it incubation. It's the time of going into the unknown and letting go of preconceived notions. And out of that comes a sense of inspiration, that you are inspired to then create, which is the fourth day. Tomorrow's focus will be on creation. If we had a fifth day... Pardon?
I was just going to ask. When you say, can you just put a little bit of meat around how you go into that second place?
Of mystery?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Be happy to. I'd also be happy to have those people who are here for that day to talk about it. A lot of it has to do with, like I said, letting go of our preconceived notions of what something ought to be. So allowing yourself to... think about things differently than you have before, allowing yourself to approach something in a whole new way, which means letting go of your judgments about the way it ought to be, letting go of what you think the right way is, letting go of the notion that there is a right way, and letting go of the fact that you have to conceive something and produce it perfectly. I think that's the biggest stumbling block for people is that, and that a stumbling block for even entering the process is thinking that the outcome has to be perfect, and there's some notion of what perfection is. So for me, and I certainly would ask others to add to this, it has to do with letting go of shedding those expectations that what I will produce will be perfect this time, and letting yourself go into the experience and letting whatever comes out. There's a something that I referred to in the last couple days, ideas by a woman whose name is Angeles Arian. And her focus is on indigenous peoples, and she's talking about how do we learn to live creatively, how do we learn to live spiritually on this earth. And She has four ideas that she sort of gleaned from indigenous cultures. And the first one that she talks about is to show up. So we need to show up, which sounds easy, but I think it might be one of the hardest ones, is to show up, to really be present, to not be thinking about something out there that's going to happen tomorrow or tonight, or something that might have happened yesterday, but to really be present, to be focused, to be here right now. The second notion that she has about encouraging a creative spiritual existence being on the earth is to pay attention to what has heart and meaning for you. So pay attention to what inspires you. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. But what is meaningful to you? What touches your heart? To pay attention to that, to notice that. And the third one is to speak the truth without blame or judgment. She says to speak the truth. I think it's also about listening to the truth, being with truth without blame or judgment. And for a lot of people, that's one of the hardest ones, is to be, and I would challenge you all or suggest that between now and tomorrow, maybe you come back to the class, maybe not, but try to, for 24 hours, to not judge. Usually the hardest thing to do is to not judge ourselves. You're going to have a hard time with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not to blame. And I'm talking about others as well as ourselves. Each of us has our own challenges around this, whether it's more difficult for someone else or ourselves. So the first one was to show up. The second one was to pay attention to what has heart and meaning. The third one was to speak your truth without blame or judgment, or listen to others' truth. I'll write them down on the board for you in a minute. And Angelus Arian believes that, as she has gone out and studied indigenous cultures, that if you do those three, you don't really have to worry about the fourth one. But I'll share it with you anyway. It's another challenging one. The fourth one is to be open to outcome and not attached to outcome, which I actually think is probably one of the more significant ones in the spiritual, in one's spiritual path as well as in one's creative path, is to not be attached to the outcome. So as I was saying before, not to have preconceived notions of what you expect to be, but to allow what will be to manifest. And that is what I believe is being open to the mystery of our lives and the mystery of the Spirit working through our lives. And so that's why the second day, I had it in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days. Clearly the creative process can take 5 years, can take 5 months, four months. It's a much expanded. I look at the creation story in the Bible, in the Old Testament, as being symbolic. It was 7 days, 6 days to create the world, but it can take much longer than that to create things. So those are the things that I think are helpful. And Angelus Arian has done her studies on indigenous people. I think that there's a rootedness in the earth and ecological spirituality that indigenous people have. There's a lot of knowledge there that is very transferable to our contemporary lives about letting go, whether it's into our spiritual path or our creative path.
I have a friend that's writing her doctoral dissertation using this model to do it, and on that very thing. So she's trying to think about those things as she's writing, but use the method as she goes. And it's something, I mean, I think about it in terms of conversations with people or groups getting together, or as she does, but it's kind of a different way to think about it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's neat to sometimes expand categories anyway, but
she calls it the fourfold way, and there's a book actually by her entitled that, and I'll write this up on the board for you. Angelus Arian is a Basque. She's from the Basque culture, which is the culture that's between Spain and France. And her family came to this country when she was in her 20s and settled in Idaho. And every 2 or 3 years would return to the Basque country. Her father was actually the culture carrier for that culture and would bring the culture here. They'd go back and spend time there. And then since then, she's moved into anthropology and the academic study of different cultures. Where was I? I was talking about the creative process, and we were talking about the first day being preparation, the second day one of mystery, and the third day is inspiration, which is where we are today. The fourth day, I feel like as we live our lives creatively, we make things. We bring things into being. Creation means to make it happen, to bring forth, in fact, is what it means. And so we can imagine ourselves as very creative. We can visualize ourselves as very creative. But the creative process requires the manifestation, actually bringing it forth. And so the fourth day is really focused on creation. Fifth day, for me, if we did have one, would be assessment, looking at what you've created. How do you feel about it? Do you want to do it again? Do you want to take yourself through this cycle and change something? There's something about it you like, something that you didn't like. And I look at all of us as creative people. We are all creators in our lives. And the first day we talked a bit about this, but we've all created things. And actually what I'd like to do right now is just go around the room and have you introduce yourselves and mention something that you've created that you feel proud about. You've all created things. You've created your life. Many of you have children. You've created children. You've created relationships. So I'm looking at this very broadly. You may be a teacher and you've created sessions about teaching a certain subject. I'm not looking at it as the traditional way of the artist who creates a physical manifestation, but many, many ways that we create. So maybe if we'll start with Mark.
I'm Mark Prementillo, Skokomish, and I was talking with somebody earlier that...
And what's your name?
I'm Judy.
Judy, that's quite all right. Thank you for bringing that up. I mean, certainly as we go through the class, the theme is that we are co-creators, whether it's a table or a child or our lives. And when I link creativity and spirituality, for me, that is the statement that the spirit moves through us, which allows us to create. And so it's a co-creative process. And that can be manifest through human beings. It can be manifest with others in our lives. But certainly it's a co-creative process. So thanks for bringing that up.
I'm Steve. I work with juveniles in a correctional setting, teenage boys, and through the course of systems and the years, we've become to be very creative in dealing with it as systems and regulations change and break down. I've seen myself and others being creative in dealing with, you know, the kids, mm-hmm. what you can do, what you can't do. Mm-hmm. And, so I don't know. That's one thing. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm Wendy, and I guess I'm creative, trying to create a new life for my children and myself mm-hmm. as a single parent.
That's great. That's a lot.
Yeah. I'm Jane, and you know, to me, I think that for me, it's like just this ongoing. I mean, working with God, whatever, being open to this ongoing creation that is myself. You know that. Letting myself be in that place of mystery, that place, all the stages that you're in, and then, you know, letting God bring forth more and more of me throughout my lifetime. Now, not everybody sees it that way, but that certainly is, to me, an ongoing creative thing. And I'm a spiritual director, and I see my major thrust sort of is to help each person that I see be open to that creative process within themselves, mm-hmm. listening to the voice of God within themselves, you know, mm-hmm. so that, I guess, is mine.
Yeah, thank you.
My name's Mal, and I have thought of myself as being creative. If you expand it, as you did, right now I teach at community college. I create vocation for young people who want to expand their skills, young people, older people. the average age of my students is probably close to 40. Before that, I was an engineer, as a manager, I hadn't thought of it that way, but I did create organization to accomplish things, mm-hmm. created systems mm-hmm. to function and so on. Mm-hmm. In a very constrained way, I was created.
Mm-hmm. Well, within certain boundaries, yeah. And actually, that can be something that is very inspiring to the creative process, is to have boundaries. We often think of that we need the unlimited openness, but in fact, having an assignment, having boundaries, can be what allows us to be creative. So having structure. So yeah, you've been creative. You are creative.
I'm Kathy, and the first thing I think about is my work. I'm a pastor. You know, I have to creatively speak every week. Mm. So you know, there is some of that in there. But I think in terms of, I'm glad others shared about their growing, because I'm originally from LA and I'm in a town now of 150. And I've been in small towns for the last 7 years, and I don't mind living in a small town, but some of the rural mentality, I haven't been able to make the transition to. I'm working my life to creatively get out, which is not going back to school. I want to be your older students. So right now I'm struggling with kind of creatively, how do I go on from here, and where is the journey? Mm.
Great. Two things that come to mind for me. My name's Barb. The thing comes from me. And I've created some very meaningful conversation for myself in the few days that I've been here so far, and that's been very, very useful. And when you said, I think something that I felt particularly proud of, and I hadn't really ever acknowledged myself for this, when we moved into the house that we live in, lived in it for 5 years, you come in the front door and immediately your eye is drawn to it's like a high ceiling and a rail that you can see underneath the dining room table. Mm. So like, you can see like right up people's clothes and everything.
Whoops. And it's a nice house, but it always bothered me coming in the front door and you could see this. And so I had, this is very arty, creative, taken dried flowers and grapevines and had weaved this huge thing that is now in place, so you don't see right up people's
Sounds like you had an assignment.
It was one of those things that was definitely unfolding. You know, I laid out in the yard for a couple days to try to, because it was huge. Mm-hmm. It was probably at least 1 year. It was like, okay. It was an unfolding process.
That's great.
Well, I do live in a small community, right? We're 700. And just getting out, getting away on my own, doing my own thing, trying to find where to fit in.
Yep. My name is Julie, and I was all prepared for your question about what were we incubating.
Mm. Like, well, that's coming later. You'll have slow.
That's because I feel like I'm incubating scientists.
Oh my.
However, one of the things, I guess, I'm honestly very proud of or that I've created is a relationship, an intimate, significant relationship. I'm co-creative with them, and it's just in a space in which I have been able to be and keep moving within. And I can also really resonate with that very first one about just showing up and how hard is just to show up within the context of that relationship sometimes. Mm. So.
Good. Thank you all. That was wonderful. We are going to talk about inspiration in a minute. And what I wanted to do was share with you a poem from a poet who inspires me greatly. And her name is Mary Oliver. And they are now available in the bookstore. They have just come in. She's a U.S. poet, lives on the East Coast. And she's European American. And the poem I want to read is called Landscape. And I'll read the poem twice. It's one of my rituals that once I read it once, I like to read it through again to give a fuller meaning for you all to it. So it's titled Landscape. isn't it plain the sheets of moss, except that they have no tongues, could lecture all day if they wanted about spiritual patience? Isn't it clear the black oaks along the path are standing as though they were the most fragile of flowers? Every morning I walk like this around the pond, thinking, if the doors of my heart ever close, I am as good as dead. Every morning so far, I'm alive. And now the crows break off from the rest of the darkness and burst into the sky, as though all night they had thought of what they would like their lives to be and imagined their strong, thick wings. I'll read it again. There's a fair amount in here for me about the creative process, and we'll talk about it when I finish again. See just what strikes you, other than the bad and clear. I'll try to speak loudly enough. It's titled Landscape. Isn't it plain the sheets of moss, except that they have no tongues, could lecture all day if they wanted about spiritual patience? Isn't it clear the black oaks along the path are standing as though they were the most fragile of flowers? Every morning I walk like this around the pond, thinking, if the doors of my heart ever close, I am as good as dead. Every morning so far, I'm alive. And now the crows break off from the rest of the darkness and burst up into the sky, as though all night they had thought of what they would like their lives to be and imagined their strong, thick wings. Anything that triggered or thoughts that came to your mind? Closing the heart is as good as dead. And that every morning so far she's been alive, and alive to that which might inspire her.
The part about the black oaks standing as if they're the most fragile flowers.
Mm.
And I think of a black oak, I think it's one of the most solid, huge trees, but I know just how I could see how. Like, I really did to myself, I think that I'm
going to
break a lot harder than
I would. And I think there's, as is in the creative process, there's a lot of paradox. Mm-hmm. And so that which looks strong is also vulnerable and weak. And in fact, the strength of the oak is also its vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And the strength of ourselves, I think, in the process of our lives, in our spiritual path, in our creative path, is often our openness and our vulnerability and our willingness to be alive and to be touched every morning as we wake up.
And at the period of incubation of the crows or whatever, the black whatever, you know, just and then being free after that period.
I must read that again.
I don't know if that's...
And now the crows break off from the rest of the darkness and burst up into the sky, as though all night they had thought of what they would like their lives to be and imagined their strong, thick wings. The imagery for me is just very strong of being in the darkness and having that period of incubation and staying with the mystery and having the patience to be with it. And in that process, imagining your wings, imagining that which gives you flight, that which inspires you, that will help you move, and then breaking from the darkness. And most creation myths start in a void, start in a darkness. And from that darkness, something is created. The earth is created. Out of the void, out of the darkness, there's a separation, and land is created, a person is created, a distinction is made out of the darkness.
And that there is a strength in that, a growing strength in being in that darkness, mm-hmm. being strengthened.
Well, and that it's a necessary period. Those of you who've been through periods of deep darkness in our lives know that, that's an essential part of our lives, an essential part of our creation. In it, sometimes it's hard to remember that.
I'm struck too by just the, it almost lifts me off my chair, the energy and the joyfulness and the playfulness as they mm-hmm. as they do first.
Yeah.
I want to go out and play now.
Yeah.
Just hearing that.
Great. Because the creative process is also very playful.
Yes.
And it's about being playful, which we're going to do a little of. Right now, what I'd like you to do is to get into groups of threes. It seems like people are new, and so you probably don't know each other that well anyway, but sort out through people that you don't know. Collect yourself into a group of three. And then I'm going to give you a couple questions to focus on. We're going to let you talk in small groups about that. Then I'm going to ask you to talk to us all about what you've shared in the groups. And then we're going to play. We really are going to play with our bodies. So, if you'll find, take a couple other people. Do you want to join this group or this group, either one?
Yeah. Charge it.
I'm yawning it out.
Is that part of creativity?
I don't see. Well, yes,
so what I want you to think about and talk to each other about is actually.
It's nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Hello.
You probably want to introduce yourselves. But what you've done now is to think a little bit about times in your life when you've been inspired, when you felt inspiration. It might have been this morning, and it might have only been for 10 minutes. It might have been when you were, you know, for myself, when I was traveling in Nepal. That was a very inspiring time for me. And I can identify some things about it that were very inspiring and why it was inspiring. It was a 2.5 month period of time that was incredibly generative and inspiring. And so it might be a length of time, it might be a place, it might have been being with a person, it might have been being in a certain class. But think about a time when you were felt particularly inspired. And then also share what encourages inspiration in your life. What encourages that to be a part of your life? Okay? And we'll take about 5 to 7 minutes. It's not going to be a long time.
And also this period of about 3 weeks that we spent in France. Three times daily prayer, very simple place. And I realized for me, in part of it, I created a positive for me is getting swearing with my God, with my faith. Thomas Merton says that true art, or art, is just a way to enter us. Reflection of God. My deepening faith has also deepened my own creativity.
We stare at the most as we go next.
Lately, it's been many partners that I work with in India communities. I work with
Monday.
For me to gain part of my inner strength,
Also, it's much larger connection.
how I live with this religious community in Toronto, Canada.
The nature makes you feel almost
it's a bunch of
older and take a it's overwhelming voices.
But at the same time, it's whole. I mean,
just give you one more minute to wrap it up.
Very healing. No.
But it is, yeah. But it's amazing.
That was when you talked about it. I was just thinking of a band. Every time I hear a band, I start to cry. I can't control this. A band, marching down the
street. Oh, very, yeah.
I will always start the first one.
Something back there. But
why? I don't know. I can't control it. I get upset with myself. I don't know why.
Where I am.
And what does it mean?
It's pretty interesting. Yeah, well, as a pastor, you can also be a reserve
disconnect.
It's part of the
country. We live outside of Chicago. Grew up in Nebraska. I grew up in town.
Is that right? Yes. Yes. You're in Nebraska. You gotta get away from
town called Wausau.
I lived in
Omaha. Did you? Yeah. Well, we're far enough north that it's become rolly again. It's close enough to the Missouri River. We're just 30 miles from the Missouri River, so it's rolling.
Okay, if you all can kind of head back to your circle.
You were in Omaha.
69. So I want to ask a question of the whole group. What does it mean to be inspired? And what encourages inspiration in your lives?
I'll make a general statement.
Yes, I like that.
You know, for me, what I notice is that if my eyes are open, and as the poem stated, if my heart is open, that any type of thing can inspire me, anything. So it's hard for me to list the categories because it's kind of like everything as long as I'm there. As long as I show up, again, it's more stuff like that.
For me, inspiration, I mean, you know, broadly speaking, is spirit. And spirit is life-giving, so whatever. I mean, that's my old song, who goes to people who are at church. But it is truly, whatever is life-giving to me is inspirational, and it happens if I keep my eye, you know, I allow God into my life in the present moment. And it's not easy to do that. You know, it sounds great, and it doesn't happen all that often.
Right. And it does, the word inspiration does mean to inspire. Inspire is the spirit, to blow the spirit into you, or to have the spirit blow through you. So to be inspired is to be a vessel, an instrument, and whatever metaphor you prefer for the spirit. Other thoughts about inspiration. What encourages it? And sometimes it helps to think about what blocks it. So something else would encourage it.
Feelings?
Being in touch with your feelings? Is
yeah,
being
in touch with
your feelings. Okay. We'll push you ready to. Yes, go ahead.
Well, I think that in our group we discussed that a little bit about the times when I look back on feeling inspired, it evoked feelings. And not necessarily feelings that you can control. And there are generally senses associated with it, hearing something, seeing something. So it was sensing, but at the same time that evoked things from within.
There's also a sense of an experiencing and evoking of something that could be or yet to be, or a sense of process. I think about, I talked about Marco's rug on Monday as a point of inspiration for me, and how I've never considered myself a weaver, but I looked at that and was like, call, you know, like I could go into being a weaver. And so it's a sense of creation. I mean, there is
a sense of possibilities.
Yeah.
For me, my desire to create meaningfulness or meaning and connection triggers being inspired, making sense out of senselessness, order out of chaos.
Desire to make meaning?
Yeah.
Willingness to have my cage rattled. And then know that I probably won't fall apart. If I do, you know, I'll be all right. I have enough people around to... I mean, really have it rattled over some new form of thought or lifestyle or...
open to seeing
way,
open to new forms.
Yeah.
And you also said... and something about, and that I'll be okay.
Yeah.
And so I think that there's a big aspect of trust in the creative process, trusting ourselves, trusting our connection to the spirit, trusting that which we do not know.
This might be sort of a restatement of a couple of the others, but heart open, also open eyes, and that may be willing to see things differently. Maybe that's the same thing as open to the new.
Mm-hmm. It's like an attitude of vulnerability.
Do you want to say more about that?
Well, what she just said is just the risk-taking element.
Right.
The not having it all together or in control or defined before you begin or
okay.
Be open to an unknown.
And one other thing for me is time. You know, just not being so busy that it prevents me to have from having any of these things that we've listed.
Which is an addiction of our culture, I believe, which is to fill up the time so that we don't have time for this and to be inspired. And to have such a structured orientation to our lives that we don't have to be inspired. Which is a very odd notion, but it's a very common thing that we do. And I'm speaking of the dominant culture, although anyone who lives in the United States, whatever culture they're from, is influenced by this kind of perception of reality and experience of reality. It's to fill it up so I can't get inspired. So I won't be moved. Any other thoughts before we move into something fun and inspiring, hopefully? I'm going to ask you all to take some risks, and we're going to play here a little bit. And I'm going to do a little warming up, or we're going to do a little warming up. But this comes out of work. What we're going to do is called, the first things are called transformation of objects. So I'm going to put an object up here. What I want you all to do is come up and transform it. And we'll try and guess what it's transformed into. It's a chair right now, but it could be all sorts of other things. And it's chair, as long as we look at it as a chair, we keep our notion that it's a chair. And we're just absolutely intent that this is a chair. I'm not going to be able to see it as anything else. But it could be all sorts of other things, including, you know, shelter or protection. But what I want you all to do is to try to see what else we can make of this. Before we move into it, I just want to tell you, it does come from these exercises and some of the other things that we're going to do come from the work by a Brazilian man named Boal, and he's worked in the United States. He previously worked with Paulo Freire, who's wrote the book, The Pedagogy of the Oppressed. And this man, Boal, has written a book called The Theater of the Oppressed. And so he's using theatrical techniques to help us understand the ways in which we have oppressed ourselves and the ways in which our culture oppresses us, with the ways in which different cultures oppress each other. And to, for me, oppression or the opposite of oppression can also be called inspiration. It's the ways that we allow ourselves to be free. So we're going to allow ourselves to be free and play and try to encourage some of this, and particularly the vulnerability, taking risks. You know, just go for it. This is being playful, letting go of being judged. So it's a chair, but what else?
What do you want?
You can get, come up and just do something with it.
Just what you just said.
Protect your shield?
You're an umpire in a baseball game.
Jail.
Pardon me?
Prison.
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 Rattle my cage.
Rattle.
chair.
That's my nightstand.
Things sound different, yeah.
Welcoming?
No.
Then we have like a waiter in a restaurant or maybe host.
Just not the chair itself, but the chair and two human beings and both facing each other.
Conversation.
Does it work? My cobra.
Great. We got another object here. What is this?
Oh.
It's a bucket, but
it's a brown.
It could be all sorts of other things. So. To see things differently, to be inspired by what might be different. What I want you to do real quickly now is to get back in your group of three. You talked about things that have inspired you. Choose one of those things from the three of you, something that inspired you. And the three of you are going to create, this is a challenge, the three of you are going to create a human sculpture that will depict that inspiration.